Thunder Media.
On this episode of Inside Motorsport, we speak to one of the victors of the Bathurst 12-hour, Jaden Ojeda. I hope you'll stay with us. Well, Jaden Ojeda has set a number of records in his racing career, but a big one is 2 Bathurst 6 hours in a row, and he joins us now on Inside Motorsport. Jaden Ojeda, congratulations. You, Simon Hodge, backed it up this time with George Medici to take out the 6 hour at Bathurst.
Yeah, thanks for having me on there, Craig. It's pretty cool. Obviously, a couple of days now, it's really sort of sunk in this year. We had to really dig deep to sort of get that one across the line. Didn't look also well, maybe 2 stints out. Our pace wasn't great. We had a tyre that was delaminating and it sort of felt like it was slipping away on the safety car as well. Just before that final pit stop, got held up, lost 15 seconds from that. So yeah, it was a tough old slog, but yeah, it was awesome to sort of get it done for Simon, Aaron, and also to have George with us this year was awesome also.
You have now set a record, the first time that someone's won the Bathurst 12-hour twice. You and Simon have got that record in the bag, but to do it 2 years running is quite a remarkable feat. The BMWs just seem to be the right car for the 6 hour under the current regulations.
Yeah, it was really, really cool, obviously. So Simon, last year, that was as good as it got for him winning the 6 hour. You know, it's something he's dreamed of doing forever. So to sort of go back to back and get the second one so soon, it's it really just adds to it. And yeah, like you said, it's a BMW race as of late. But in saying that, a lot of BMWs there had a lot of problems with errors and failures and all the rest. So it sort of goes back to Aaron Gretsch Motorsport, who prepared our cars that he'd done such a solid job. And I said to Aaron at the end of last year when we won the 6 hour, it was super, super cold weekend. And, you know, we still saw a fair few of the BMWs having some problems. And I knew we'd never be so lucky to have such a cold Sunday at Bathurst at that time of the year. And, we thought that the race this year would be one on durability and reliability, which, you know, ultimately it was, along with some good pace as well.
You've had a number of different aspects to your racing career with the GTs, and you were with Craft Bamboo this year at the Bathurst 12-hour. You've also done open-wheel racing and all sorts of different things, but I guess being back in Australia and concentrating on trying to make that transition to supercars is something that's high on your list?
Yeah, look, I've really enjoyed doing the GT racing over the past 12 months, and it's something that's fielded a fair bit of success. Obviously, being with Mercedes AMG through Craft Bamboo at the Bathurst 12-hour was a highlight. Racing with some really top teammates, top team and personnel, so that was really cool. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully doing some more of that this year as well, with tying in and pushing locally for a supercars drive also.
Now, Craft Bamboo are, you know, well regarded in the GT field. You've done a bit of racing with them. What's that experience been like to work with such a well-credentialed team?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Working with Craft Bamboo is my first time working with an international team, and obviously to do one of that caliber is a really cool opportunity, and it's just been awesome to sort of take it all in and see how they do stuff a little bit differently. Being an Asian-based team there in Hong Kong, they don't do the transporters, they don't do the trucks, it's all container racing. So seeing how efficient they are with their aspects of going racing at the 12-hour is a perfect example. It's really cool how much they can do out of a small space, and the personnel there obviously are really, really strong as well, world class. So it's been an awesome experience doing as much as I have with them so far.
And not a bad record, really, when you think 2 Asia Le Mans series starts with them and you've got 1 pole position under your hat.
Yeah, really cool. So the first round at Asia Le Mans, we had our challenges there in the races, but no, the car was awesome, and they know how to set up an AMG, so it works well.
And for a long time, the AMGs have been the car to have in GT racing, but it looks like all the other makes are starting to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. I think the GT platform at the moment's got a lot of interest, a lot of hype with LMDH sort of getting a lot of manufacturers in. It's sort of opened the field in terms of manufacturers getting involved in terms of GT racing, but then also the opportunity for drivers to really progress their career and make something out of sports car racing.
Is that the avenue you're going to pursue, or are you looking now to build on your couple of seasons in Super 2 and try and make the leap across to a full-time supercars career?
Look, for me, it's, you know, my goal is to be a professional driver. Where that takes me, I'm not going to be picky with. I think I've got a really good opportunity at the moment, both with Mercedes and in the GT world. So it's definitely going to be something I push quite hard. At least, you know, there's not going to be any full-time seats that open up in supercars in the next 6 to 8 months. So just about trying to get as much GT racing in as I can and try to open that door and then sort of see what the future holds. But I'm really enjoying the GT stuff at the moment. So I'm looking forward to some more of that this year.
The development that you've been on, where have you seen the biggest leaps forward in your ability to bring something to a team?
Interesting question. Like, it's for me, I always feel like I'm doing my best in terms of driving and all the other aspects when I'm driving a lot. You know, it could just be in anything, you know, from a production car to a supercar to a GT3. It doesn't as much matter as to what. But if I'm just driving, I'm constantly problem solving. And I think that's what most of us are as drivers, are just trying to figure out what problems we've got and how we can rectify them and sort of get through them to drive quicker. So if you can be challenged constantly, then I think you're going to be doing your best.
Now, you have a FIA silver license. Does that actually make it a little bit more challenging to try and get those drives in the pro-ams?
In some aspects, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, you're competing with platinums and gold rated drivers in a lot of those pro-am championships. So, you know, for instance, here in Australia, I've got a pretty solid reputation because of my history and my background. But, you know, the moment you sort of jump abroad, it becomes quite difficult because, you know, everyone thinks supercars is cool overseas, but at the same time, it's not put in the same light as GT racing, or at least it's not in the same category as GT racing because it's quite specific. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting working out the rating system and where a silver's of value, where silver's not as much value, and then how you can position yourself as a result.
I guess it's a juggling act, isn't it? For, you know, that there's a lot of gentlemen drivers that want to have a silver and want to have a really well-credentialed driver in their makeup to help them with the pro-ams, but there's also the want to be a professional race car driver, you need to get as high a license as you can to then get those professional seats. But if you don't, it cuts you back to losing some of the pro-am opportunities. It must be a difficult one for a young guy like yourself to choose which way to go.
Yeah, for sure. So, no, just keep working on it. Like, you know, some series of silvers is beneficial and some it doesn't make any difference between the silver or gold or platinum. So Asian Le Mans was good because it gives silvers a chance to compare themselves to a gold or platinum driver in the same car and same environment. So more series like that would be really cool.
You did a test with Erebus earlier this year in the V8 supercars, and Erebus have been a form team. So how did you see that opportunity go?
Yeah, it was cool. It was different, you know, trying my hand at a different Gen 3 supercar, having only ever driven the Matt Stone car and, you know, both Camaros, but, you know, the MSR car definitely follows more of a 888 philosophy, which, you know, comes across somewhat from the previous supercar, whereas it was my first time driving an Erebus supercar in any form, whether it be Gen 3 or Gen 2. So, yeah, just interesting to just get the different philosophy of how they get the cars to go quick. And obviously over the past 12 months, they've arguably had the quickest Gen 3 supercar. So interesting to see how the team dynamics work and all that played out.
And it's also the question that follows. It was an evaluation. How did they evaluate you? Have we potentially going to see you in a Erebus suit, not a Matt Stone racing suit next in the Enduros?
We'll have to see. Ultimately, it's still quite early in the year for all that, and the fair few things that I've got to sort out on my end with my yearly program before I sort of get close to enduro. So just focus on that for now.
It's an interesting one because you were with Jack LeBrock last year, and Jack's moved to Erebus. Is that in part how the evaluation day came about?
Yes and no. I've been in touch with Barry over the years, so we've sort of had a decent relationship from past, and the opportunity sort of came about to jump in and have a drive, and it was all good.
Well, Jaden, we look forward to seeing how it all progresses in 2024, and I'm sure we'll be hearing something in the very near future about what you're going to be doing for the rest of the year. Any GT stuff, or are you looking at being able to announce a mixed program fairly soon?
Yeah, maybe just keep your eyes peeled on my Facebook page for maybe later in the week.
All right, fantastic. Jaden, congratulations. It was a fantastic race. And what did you think when you closed in on Will Davison so quickly coming out of Forest Elbow to make that pass for the lead?
Yeah, I honestly thought it was too good to be true. We had a super quick car in that last stint of the race. We took the decision to take a right front tyre. After the second last stint, we're maybe a second away from the pace per lap. So we sort of knew we needed something to at least compete. So we threw a right front tyre at it, and it really transformed the car, and the car came back to life. And the rear right tyre had met a certain point of delaminating and sort of stabilised, which was good. And we had a quick car, and when I saw Will slowing, it was unfortunate for him, but obviously you see the opportunity for yourself. But it would have been good to race to the finish with him, because I think the fight would have continued on until the flag, and like I said, we had a strong car, so I was feeling pretty good for the next 15 to 20 minutes of that race. But it was unfortunate, especially after they helped us out and gave us a bit of a lifeline on the Saturday night with, our diff wasn't in the best of shape. So we sort of went around to all the M3s, M4s to try to see if anyone had a spare. And sure enough, Berwick kindly put his hand up and offered us his diff, which was a great act of sportsmanship and gave us a really good car for the Sunday.
Well, Jaden, congratulations. And once again, we look forward to seeing what the rest of 2024 has in store for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's all we have time for this week on Inside Motorsport. Until next time round, keep smiling and bye for now.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media for the Community Radio Network.